Welcome to the Minnesota chapter of the American College of Healthcare Executives podcast. Through this podcast, we will shed light on the work of the ACHE board, benefits of membership, and relevant topics that healthcare executives like yourself are navigating. With each series, we will go in depth on what it means to be a member and why you should join your Minnesota healthcare colleagues. We all share a common goal to positively influence and advance healthcare. ACHE welcomes anyone that touches healthcare. It's not just for practice administrators, physicians, and clinicians. If you are a healthcare consultant, developer, or architect, we encourage you to consider being a member. Go ahead and check out our website at achemn.org. In this episode, Kathy Zavaleta interviews Anthony Ashby. They talk about Anthony's experience with ACHE and also a collaboration between ACHE and the National Association of Health Service Executives.
Well, hello, Anthony. I've been so looking forward to this conversation. I think you and I know each other, but for the benefit of our listeners, I'm Kathy Zavaleta, president of ACHE Minnesota. So Anthony, you and I have been working together on a project to enhance collaboration between the newly recognized Heartland chapter of NASE, the National Association of Health Service Executives, and the Minnesota chapter of the American College of Healthcare Executives. We're both fellows of the college. And Anthony, you also serve as membership chair for the Nebraska and Western Iowa chapter. And I also think you recently won a Regents Award. Have I got that right?
You have got that right. You're absolutely right. Sounds like you know me better than I know myself.
I doubt that, but certainly congratulations.
Thank you.
My first question would be, you're a fellow of the college. You're well respected within the college. How did you first become involved with ACHE?
I have to kind of think about this sometimes because I can't particularly put a finger on it. But when I was working in Maryland a few years back, I was actually invited to an event. It was an after work networking event. Somebody said, you know, it'd be pretty cool to check this out. I'm part of this group. You should come. We can get some drinks and, you know, hear from one of the local CEOs. So I was like, I'll get some drinks. That'll work for me.
It helped that it was one of the local CEOs, right?
Yeah, it was somebody that was I was familiar with in the industry from the area. Like honestly, I can't remember the details, but I do remember specifically attending, and it was just I was in awe. I was very early on in my career. And one being close to a lot of people that are, you know, that I aspire to be like, there's executives and CEOs and COOs and things like that. Not only being able to hear them speak, but then afterwards being able to network with them, shake hands, talk, you know, just like their regular people. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And I was pretty much hooked after that.
And at that stage, and at least in my career, I don't think I realized they were regular people.
I would agree with that. I spend a lot of my time trying to convince other staff that I'm a regular person.
And well, so tell me, how did you first get involved with NASE?
Yeah, so NASE was actually a few years later, probably. I had been involved with ACHE for a little while, and I was actually at Johns Hopkins at the time, and they have a really strong Baltimore chapter of NASE. I believe around that time, either that year or the year before, they actually won like chapter of the year for NASE. So I got connected with them through the leader there is also involved in ACHE, and they were like, hey, you should come check out this group. And then kind of just tagged along with that. And it was kind of didn't turn back from there. I think one of the things I like to highlight to people, because sometimes it can be overkill. I mean, there's a lot of professional development groups. There's a lot of different groups you can join and different types. And, you know, there's gender based and there's race based and there's industry based and role based and things like that. And the thing I like to tell people is, you know, try to diversify, because I think of professional development organizations like NASE and ACHE. It's like, you know, it's an investment. You put your time in, you put your volunteer hours in, you put your money in. You don't want to put all your money in one place. So you got to kind of diversify. You get different things out of each group. So
you can be strategic about it.
Yep. Yeah, very strategic. And I mean, it kind of depends on your time and your availability and things like that. But I think whenever you have the opportunity to kind of branch out and see something different, I think you should definitely do it. So I enjoy being involved in both, and then they overlap a lot, which is helpful, but there's also distinct things I get from each. So
they overlap in terms of their focus and kinds of positions that people have. Is that what you're trying to say? But you get different things in terms of the network.
Yeah, so the overall focus to develop healthcare leaders is consistent across the two, but NASI being specifically in advancing Black healthcare leaders, you kind of, there's a different kind of spin on it as opposed to ACHE. It's a lot broader. It's a lot more general, but there's pros and cons of both. So it's ACHE. I mean, you know, 48,000 members. NASI is not quite as large. So there's kind of, it's kind of like a specialty group and a larger group. So there's a little bit of a difference there, but also similarity. So
a little more intimate, if you will.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, I just have to congratulate you. I think it's amazing that you've started to re-energize NASI. So how did you get that idea? I mean, paint the scene for us. Where were you? Was it a brainstorm or a suggestion, or how did you get started?
Yeah, it was kind of, it kind of formed out of a need, I think. I think I got so used to, I started off in consulting. I moved around the country a lot, in a lot of different states and different chapters. So, ACHE was always like a home for me professionally. So whenever I go somewhere, you know, I get involved with ACHE, I get involved with NASI. It's, you know, I get networked, I get connected in the industry, and also, you know, get some personal connections as well. So when I moved to Omaha here about a little over 2 years ago, I just kind of attempted to do the same formula. You get into the new area, you get connected with the chapter, you meet some people and kind of build from there. What I found was kind of surprising. There wasn't as much familiarity with ACHE as I was used to. I just moved from Dallas, and they have a really, really active, really strong chapter in North Texas. And it wasn't as strong here. Not as a reflection of the chapter itself, but it just culture-wise, it seemed in the area, it's just, you know, a lot of people at the hospital I worked at, and just people I talked to in the industry weren't even familiar with ACHE, which kind of struck me. So I reached out to definitely get involved, because I was like, this is even more important for me to get involved, because ACHE is super important to me, and I know it can be helpful for others. So, you know, how can I contribute and, you know, see what some of the challenges are, and how can we build the presence up? So from that point, you know, if there's kind of a lack of familiarity with ACHE, it's usually even more so with NASI. So one of the ways I usually kind of explain NASI, it's kind of like a African-American affinity group of ACHE. So if somebody's not familiar with ACHE, I don't have that connection to draw like a comparison to. So I started to look around, because I'm a member of NASI, and I was like, where can I at least find the closest chapter so I can get involved in that chapter, even if it's not in my immediate city? So I looked around. The next closest chapter wasn't until St. Louis on the east there, which is about 7 hours drive. And then to the west is a chapter in Denver. And then to the south, there's no other chapter until you get down to Dallas. And then north above Omaha, there's no chapter. So literally the whole middle part of the country is not touched by NASI. So I started to brainstorm. And again, the same thing with ACHE is like, it's so important. And I think I recognize one of the challenges of why there might not be a NASI chapter is, you know, there's not a large concentration of African-Americans in any one city in the heartland of the country, comparably so to like Atlanta and Houston and New York and things like that. So I was like, I can understand that. But then to that same point, it's even more important because there's obviously African-Americans there. It's even more important that there is that kind of network and that kind of presence there. So I felt it's even more important to have NASI in Omaha, Nebraska, you know, Kansas, Minnesota, even more so than it would be in Atlanta or Florida or Los Angeles. So I started to look into the process of how to create a chapter, and then just kind of ran from there.
Absolutely, because the executives that we have, even if they're affiliated with ACHE, they wouldn't have the kind of networking or connections that NASI offers. Yeah. I'm imagining that could be a pretty isolating experience.
For sure.
Or at least most of us, I mean, all of us, I think this is a hard job. We need as much support as we can get.
Yeah, and I think the challenge when you're part of a underrepresented population, and that's not even just necessarily a race thing of being a minority, but underrepresented in the industry as well. You know, it's not as easy to network and connect because you don't see as many people like you in the industry, and you know, even more so in this part of the country than on a lot of the coast and things like that. So, like I said, I feel like it was even more important to have a chapter here than it would be anywhere else.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so is there anything you can share about, this has been a journey over the last couple of years. What's been some of the high points? I mean, what would you point out as something that was a victory?
Yeah, I think the high point was really just throughout the process. So in kind of digging in and learning how to develop a chapter, I learned that one of the past presidents of the Florida chapter and someone that's pretty heavily involved at the national level, Grant McGaw, he's actually a native of Omaha.
Oh, so wow.
When he heard I was looking into starting a chapter, he was like, I love it. He's like, whatever you need, I'll help you out. We'll talk and I'll kind of share with you some of the stuff we did. And he's like, I'm so glad you're doing this. So that was a real pump up for me, kind of just going through that process. Then obviously getting the chapter approved, we had to go through a process and I had to kind of pitch it to the national organization. That was great. And then I think leading into kind of just developing a presence, one of the highest points was honestly speaking with you. I think in trying to create awareness of the chapter and working with our local chapter regent, Brad, and him connecting us with the other, you know, regents and leaders in the neighboring ACHE chapters, and finding so much energy and excitement around the potential and the prospect of NASI and how we can collaborate on and focusing on DE&I efforts for the African-American community was just amazing. And I remember when we first spoke to you, we were just kind of pitching the idea, just kind of like, hey, this is what it is. And for the most part, we were expecting like, oh yeah, that'd be great. We'd love that. And you kind of just took it like three or four levels deeper. And it was like, this is amazing. We got to make this permanent. We got to really collaborate. We got to make it sustainable. How do we build on this? How do we make sure this stays around? And it's not something that's just kind of here today, gone tomorrow. Like, how do we really make this a thing? And that just kind of energized me to go even deeper. So that's been awesome.
Well, thank you for the acknowledgement. I have to say it's been nothing but a privilege to work with you and your colleagues. And I can absolutely understand it makes such a difference when you find people that say, yes, let's make it happen. Whatever you need, let's do this. And I'm really grateful to the support from National as well. I think ACHE corporate headquarters has been quite supportive as well. So I'm just excited about what we're going to be able to do in the future in terms of collaborating.
Absolutely.
What's been hardest? What's this, other than the geographic isolation, what are some of the challenges that you might share?
Yeah, I think some of the challenges is just getting kind of traction. I think there's just so many things vying for people's attention right now. There's so many things outside of work that people are focused on with, you know, COVID and their kids and daycare and school. And there's just so much more going on outside of work than I think there traditionally is. It's kind of taking up a lot of people's free time more so than previous. I think another challenge is there's still a hesitancy to do in-person events. So I think a lot of people obviously are getting kind of zoomed out and, you know, it's very easy to kind of disengage on a Zoom and things like that. So in terms of actually like meeting and speaking to people and talking face-to-face and having those kind of interactions and building those connections, not as able to do that. I think the other challenge is, honestly, probably just underestimated how much of an uphill battle it would be. So one of the first steps is we have to build a leader, a executive board for the chapter. And there's a lot of people on boards and usually a board functions kind of in an advisory capacity, but being kind of a startup, I mean, you got to be like hands-on and really like do the work and you're building something from scratch. This is a concept that nobody's ever even heard of before. So it's not just like, hey, join our professional development organization. It's some people are like, hey, I don't even know what a professional development organization is. So it's just, there's a lot of challenges with just really being hands-on and takes a lot more time than I thought it would. So there's been a few times where we get a lot of excitement and then our eyes get bigger than our stomach. And then we can't really gain traction because there's just not enough hands and manpower to actually kind of do the work and get things going. So then you kind of go into this phase of a little lull, and then you kind of re-energize and get back to it. But I think we're really in a good place, and we're excited about next year. We're really building a lot of support and awareness. So it's been a challenge, but I mean, we're coming through it, and it's always going to be peaks and valleys. So,
oh, for sure. And I think grit ought to be one of the requirements to become a fellow of ACAG. And, and it, you know, I can certainly relate. Our chapters run on volunteer power, and it's really challenging for people when there are so many demands professionally as well as personally.
And
I have to say, we're doing it anyway, Anthony.
We're doing it anyway. Yeah, that's, I mean, I always say, I mean, if you care enough about it, you'll figure out a way. I mean, I always reflect back, and my parents would always say it. It's like, there's a lot of things we told you not to do, but if you wanted to do it, you would figure out a way to do it. So I don't want to hear about you can't do something, because if you cared enough, I've seen you do a lot of things that I didn't want you to do, that you figured out a way to do, that we did everything possible to make sure you didn't, and you still figured out a way. So if you want it bad enough, you'll figure it out.
Well, I don't think I could top that. That's a really powerful message. And I, you know, I'm just so proud of what ACHE Minnesota is doing in terms of engaging with other organizations, engaging with professionals like you, finding other ways to reach out on to better engage with our members. I'm really excited about future collaborations with NASI. It's so, so important. And so all I can say is thank you. You know, just
absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks everyone for listening. As a reminder, follow us on LinkedIn at ACHEMN. That's ACHEMN. You can also follow NASI, and I would really encourage that as well. To learn more about opportunities with our mentoring programs or volunteering and or working with NASI, reach out to us at contact@ACHEMN.org. That's contact@ACHEMN.org. And I also want to thank the people making this podcast possible, including Alyssa Stevens from our membership committee, Jessica Anderson, our communications chair, Ted Wozniak, the man who's taken our podcast from vision to action, and Doug Glimmerveen, our audio engineer extraordinaire. Have a great day, everyone. Bye, Anthony.
Bye. Thank you.